Hey guys, welcome back to Unleashed. We are so glad you're with us, and remember, we are the resistance. Wow, this last week was so needed. Had a chance to get away with my family and got a chance to just kind of lay around the pool and have dinner together, and it was just, you can hear it. I feel rested. I went back and I listened to a little bit of last week's podcast. And it's funny when you go back and you listen to something when you were in the middle of exhaustion, you know, you don't even realize it sometimes. You know you're exhausted. You just don't know how much you need rest. But I got it. And thank you guys for your support, for your prayers. Ready to jump back in the saddle, ready to make a difference, ready to go. And, you know, when I was on vacation this last week with my family, you know, you'd have hours, you know, just kind of being there, being in the sun, and everybody after a while, we talk a lot, and then we just kind of start, you know, thinking, because you're looking out over the ocean, which, what a blessing, and you begin to think about what's important, right? You begin to think about, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? You know, when you're a young man, you know, you're thinking, who am I going to be? What am I going to be? Will I make an impact? And at the age I am now, what's that impact going to look like? Because it, you know, when you're young, you really believe into the thing. Like I think we all do sometimes. It's all about me. And as you get older, you realize it isn't. It's about other people. Had a really neat situation, difficult on vacation. It was the last night, you know, we're thinking, hey, we're finally going to have the last night with the family here and just really soak this up and get our family pictures and everything done. And my stepdaughter, Emma, was on her iPad and accidentally, permanently deleted every photo she's ever had. Now, I haven't been an Apple user. Like when I'm recording, I've got a MacBook. But as far as my phone, I've got an Android. And they've been saying, man, you need to switch over because they'll communicate with each other, your MacBook and your phone. And I've been wanting to do that. But this was an instance where her MacBook and her phone were communicating with each other to go ahead and permanently delete files that were already deleted. And we're all dressed up. We're sitting outside waiting to go into dinner. And I just see this look on her face. And she's like, no, no, no. And I didn't know. I thought someone, you know, died. I was a death. It was what it looked like on her face. And she began to sob. Every single photo she's ever had. And she looked at me. And she's like, every photo I have with my family, with my friends, they're all gone. And she was inconsolable. I mean, it was very difficult. And it was in one of those moments, you know, at first she was kind of really angry and you're dealing with those, but having to balance out, this is a loss. This is grief. I think any of us, you know, we take a lot of photographs with our phones. Those are the memories we have. We were taking a lot of pictures so we could have them after the vacation, you know, and I just said, God, help me stay in the game with this. And so we prayed and I said, God, I'm going to ask you to strengthen her faith in you. I want you to restore these photographs. And everyone that we contacted, even Apple support, said, no, if you deleted already deleted files, you permanently delete, they're gone. So you have that in the back of your head going on. And I got a hold of my oldest, who is Emma as well, who works with IT. And I said, hey, babe, this happened. She's devastated. She got busy, got a hold of Apple, got on within 24 hours. Somehow they were able to get everything back. And I said to God, only you. God doesn't like to work through the improbable. He loves to work through the impossible. He wants to strengthen our faith so that we will trust him more and more. And so here I am at this stage of my life, and it's not about me. You know, that was the lie that I bought into for so many years. It's about moving into other people's lives, walking with them, encouraging them, loving them in the middle of their grief. And, you know, I would have thought that, you know, at the end of the vacation was ruined. You know, it was kind of like all the tears and the anger and everything. But it wasn't. This was an opportunity for God to show up in a massive way to my youngest, who I want to know God desperately in a deeper, deeper level. She, you know, when I'm speaking for Wild Game dinners and men's retreats and conferences, many times she'll go along and work the product table and she gets to hear me speak the message, but she got to experience God. And how awesome was that? So we're back. And so I was telling you, I was, my mind was starting to go other places later in the week. I was thinking about this elk hunt that I've got coming up. I drew a tag for Colorado for this September. So I started thinking while I was in there, you know, what do I have to get done between now and mid to late September? So I started thinking about like the next probably 75 to 80 days I have left to train. Now I've been, you know, I train all the time. I have a home gym. I love being in there. And for the last month, I've been doing nothing but working on the house, doing lots of renovations. And I'm telling you, I burned off 6 pounds in 1 month and didn't change anything except the intensity of what I was doing. A lot of lifting, a lot of going up and down stairs. And part of me was going, man, I just kind of wasted my workout time doing all this stuff for the house. But when I stepped on the scale and I noticed the difference in my cardio going up, I knew it was because my work ethic was good. I was working really, really hard. I was working long days, which is why I got so exhausted. And lovingly, God said, no, you need a day of rest or a week of rest after what you've gone through. And that's what he allowed us this past week. But this hunt coming up, it's not going to be easy. But anything worth its spit, right? It isn't easy. You know, I could feel myself beginning to get mentally ready for what was waiting back home. And the wilds, they don't allow for passivity. You know, the wilds demand preparation. And if you've ever done Western hunting or any of these places that demand a lot of your body physically, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've got to be prepared. So it's no exaggeration to say that the wilderness will test you. It'll test your body. It'll test your focus. It'll test your soul. And it will expose anything and everything that you haven't trained or prepared for. And the wild doesn't care how spiritual you are. It won't apologize for its difficulty or its challenges. It'll just ask one question of you, and that is, are you ready? You know, it's kind of like, let's get it on. You know, it's the UFC thing. But the wild, it isn't merciful. So let me tell you what the wilderness, everywhere from Africa to Alaska and everywhere in between, has taught me. You know, I've had hypothermia, you know, deep in the Colorado mountains. Everything that I had, my gear, my clothes, got totally soaked. Then the temperatures dropped into the low 30s. I started losing my train of thought. I couldn't even remember how to tie my shoes. And that's when my hunting buddies that I was with on that trip, Roger and Brian, they began to realize that I was really starting to slip. My memory, something was going on. They could tell. And I was sliding kind of into that hypothermic state. And that's when somehow, even the confusion in the middle of it, it hit me. This is not good. I knew it, but I couldn't put two thoughts together. I have been so severely dehydrated that I developed what's called rhabdo or rhabdomyolysis. It's a condition that breaks down your muscles and it can shut down your kidneys. I actually went blind on one of those trips from this, and I spent several days in the hospital not being able to see a thing. And I'll tell you what, that'll wake you up to what's most important in your life. You know, I was laying there thinking, man, what if I can't see anymore? How will I travel to these events and write books and you know, do podcasts and all these things? You know, it's always those future thoughts or past thoughts that can nail us. You know, I've been totally surrounded by raging floodwaters in the middle of the night, you know, unsure if I'd make it out. We were surrounded. We were camped out in a little gully in Colorado. And by a stream, the perfect place, we thought, didn't pay attention to the weather. And if you've heard previous podcasts, you've heard that story before. I've been charged by not one, but two bears in the lower 48. I've been charged up in Alaska. But these two, excuse me, were not brown bears. One of them was a crossbred. They had to because of the intensity of it and the way that it came at me and charged me for no reason. And there were no cubs. It was a boar. They had to test it because they were seeing if it was a cross between a brown bear and a black bear because they had had some of those. So they're doing DNA testing on that. But both those bears, they're now deceased. And no, I didn't. Well, I did eat them. But if I wouldn't have taken them out, their breath was going to smell like me if I wouldn't have responded pretty quick. But I don't share those stories to try to one-up anybody. I share them because they're true. It's my story. And through that wilderness that I've experienced, those things and those happenings, it has shaped me. It's made me understand something that I can't ignore, and that is preparation is survival. And what you don't train for can take you out on the count of one if you're not prepared. So it was funny when my son was really little, there was this little song about a bear hunt. Was going on a bear hunt. I'm not scared. Got my trusty gun. Got my bullets by my side. And my little boy was trying to repeat it. He was singing it. And he says, going on a bear hunt. I'm not scared. Got my trusty gun. Got my pull-ups by my side. It was hilarious, you know, because he was wearing pull-ups at the time. But he's listening. He's watching. My kids, they're paying attention. Do you know God? How do you know when God shows up? Is God speaking to me? Well, God was speaking to me on this trip toward the very end. Brent, when you get back, you need to get on your A game to be prepared for this. And I love hunting camp, you know, with a bunch of guys. But there is something about being in some of the most testing places on earth with just you and a buddy and the skills that you've acquired through years of experience, through the hardship, through the tragedies. It sharpens you. It reveals you, if you know what I'm saying. It bonds you in ways that the flatlands never could when you're with these just two of you in the mountains like that. Just last week, I had lunch with one of the contestants from a Netflix series called Outlast. Maybe some of you have seen it. It's kind of like the Alone series. And we had a great conversation at a little restaurant. And as we were talking, we were both agreeing, you know, you can think you're ready for anything until Mother Nature shows up and she plays a card you didn't know that she had still in her deck. And nature's a really scary thing when those storms begin to roll in. Now, he had been in Alaska on that last show. And one of my things I always say is, you know, in Alaska, it's either about to rain, it's raining, or it just finished raining. Get used to it. So my friend on this upcoming trip is Roger Medley, and you've heard him before on here. And he's been with me through some of the near-death experiences that I've had, really serious stuff. And having a buddy who knows how to survive, and he does, you know, he was special forces and military stuff, he can keep his wits about him in stressful situations, and that's extremely important. Because when the adrenaline spikes, your thoughts go south, you know, man, that's when you kind of find out if the man beside you, is he just a tag along or is he a lifeline? You know, we are not as young as we once were. So we also have to be smarter than we were a decade ago. We don't have all the physical attributes that we once did. Although I stay in really great shape all year round. I'm not Colorado mountain elk hunting shape yet. And, you know, getting back into shape is going to help prepare me to reduce the risk of injury. So the training that I do now when I get to the mountainside is really going to be of a huge benefit to me. Stretching. You know, if you guys are thinking about getting ready to do a Western hunt or Alaska or wherever you're going where you have a lot of mountains, you're not hunting at 1,000 feet altitude, right? Stretching is extremely important because a pulled muscle, twisted knee, you know, rolling your ankle, because you haven't strengthened those parts of your body, it can become a life or death situation. In the past, one of the jokes Roger used to always tease me about is, you know, I grew up in Pennsylvania. I was a whitetail hunter, and now I've hunted a lot of places, like I said, from Alaska to Africa. But I overpack on the Western hunts because I'm not sure what the temperatures, it can fluctuate so much. So I've got several sets of camo with me. And just unnecessary stuff sometimes. You know, you need to layer and have your base layers. But this isn't like hunting whitetails. You know, the only thing a whitetail can't smell is nothing. You still have to play the wind with elk, but you can get away with a lot more with an elk than you can with a whitetail. That's just the way it is. But the thing with elk is, it's kind of like hunting turkey. They're very visual. They want to see what they hear. And it's really all about the calling to bring in elk to get them in range, especially during the rut. So I know I need to narrow down my packing list. And I'll be also taking along my Mountain Ops products. As you know, they are one of my sponsors. I love Mountain Ops. And so all their stuff, being it their Enduro to help me with energy for all day, their hydrate packets to keep me hydrated, their meal replacement, protein, all that stuff. But they don't just help me in my training here, but they give me the boost of nutrition that I know I'm going to need when I'm at the backcountry. I can't just, you know, go to a restaurant, sit down, have dinner. No, I'll be eating like Mountain House meals or some of my meal replacement shakes. I'm going to need them. The other thing you're going to have is you make sure you bring a medical kit and any medications that you need. And I can't stress this enough. You have to get checked out by your doctor before you start training at this intense level. And I would do it absolutely again before you go to make sure that you get that clean bill of health before you're out there. Because once you're out there, you're out there. So what will the hunt demand? And maybe let's talk a little bit about, you know, life too. Because this isn't going to be a peaceful nature walk. It just isn't. It will demand. I mean, 10 miles a day is what we've done many times in the past. With a heavy pack, you're at high altitude, high risk. It's a high expectation journey that demands everything. The elevation is going to be anywhere from probably 8,500 to 10,500. We have wolves in the area where we're going to be, mountain lions, bears, the risk of hypothermia, dehydration, like I said, sleepless nights. It's not necessarily easy just sleeping in a sleeping bag inside of a bivy sack, you know, zipped up. You've got probably 50 pounds that you're lugging in and out because you're going to go in and set up a spike camp and base out of that. You might have gear failures. You have to be ready for that. You have to be ready for the extreme silence, and you have to be, your ears have to be listening to every single thing that's going on. You're going to battle fatigue. You've been humping it. You're exhausted. You have to keep your water going. And sometimes that isolation can get a little bit in your head. So make sure you're keeping your thoughts straight. And this is a bow hunt. This isn't rifle. I'm not going to reach out and touch someone at 300 or 400 yards. That's what I love about bow hunting. You have to get really close to your prey. Now, it's obviously wider top to bottom than a whitetail is, so you can make little longer shots. But you still have the challenge of not being seen, heard, or smelled. And you have to be on your A game because, like I said, there are predators that will eat you if you slip up. If you were to be separated from your buddy and you get wounded, you can't go anywhere, they're gonna close in on you. You shoot an elk in the middle of the night, you're camped on top of it. That carrion, that bear meat that's rotting begins to smell. So there's a risk, but I think that thrill of that, it's edgy. You know, it's gonna awaken all of my senses. And it adds realism now to the training that I'm going to be doing because I have to be on my A game. So here's a few of the survival skills that I have learned are essential for spending a week, you know, deep in the mountains at high elevation. Navigation. You need to know how to use a compass, you know, map, GPS. Your life really can depend on it, and it has for me in the past. I would recommend something like getting Onyx hunt things so you can see property lines, terrain changes, mark important spots. Maybe you come across a trail, droppings, a wallow. Maybe you have to do tracking after dark. So you really need to have something like that so you know where you are. The terrain changes, your shelter setup. You need to know how to create a warm, dry refuge if something were to happen, and you need to know how to do it fast, how to get a fire going, water purification. You know, streams aren't always safe. It's too hard to pack, you know, in enough water, so you need to bring in a filtration unit or maybe some of the tablets. Make note of streams and water sources near where your camp is, or maybe on the way in and out, because as you're packing something out, if you are, you're going to need to know where those water sources are. So, but beware, because the weather can change quickly. A gentle stream, I know, can become a raging river overnight in a valley or a gully. Fire building, like I said, in wind and rain and cold, fire is what will keep you alive. First aid, you know, from cuts to altitude sickness. You know, I get something from my doctor before I leave to help me with the altitude change. And you'd better know how to treat yourself or your buddy does. So mental grit. This is more than just a mindset. It's the ability to keep going when your body is screaming, stop. Roger and I were on a hunt. We were coming out of, I don't know, 3 or 4 miles in, and it was going uphill on these switchbacks. It had been raining. It was muddy. We were exhausted. And he started talking about his training in the military, and something kicked in, and he was gone ahead of me. He finished the last mile way ahead of me, and I was in better shape at the time. And I'm like, dude, how did you do that? Your mind is capable of so much more than you realize. So it's getting your mind right. You got to dial in your weapon. This is a bow hunt. You got to protect your sight, everything, your rest, because you're going to be getting close, really close. You don't have the luxury of distance, like I said, with rifle hunters. You have to be silent. You have to remain invisible, scentless, and you have to be steady because your heart is going to be pumping. You also don't have the advantage of being in an elevated tree stand. You're going to be on their level. So it really does take a lot of skill being at eye level. It's going to take a lot of patience. You know, when you're slow calling, you're playing a bull and you're raking trees or you're mewing, whatever you're doing to bring him in, it takes hours of practice and a lot of patience. So you need to be working on, you know, all those skills before you ever get out there. You need to be practicing at long range. You know, if you can't hit your target at 60 to 70 yards on flat ground, you're going to really struggle at 40 yards on a slope with your heart pounding, your lugs burning, and you're at high elevation. And remember, arrows fly differently at high elevation than they do at low elevation. So you need to reset your bow once you get to altitude. The air is thinner, and that's going to change the trajectory of your arrow. You know, if you don't adjust, you're going to miss. Or even worse, you might wound the animal and never recover it. I care about the animals. I'm a hunter, not a killer, and I hope I'm always that person. Respect the hunt, respect the animal, and really prepare for those shots. Don't take a bad shot. So then let's kind of move from that physical preparation to spiritual preparation, why it matters. You know, just like calling elk in the backcountry requires precision, you know, timing and presence, so does responding to the call of God on your life. We're not just preparing for a hunt. We're preparing for that the high places that God is calling us to climb, because your calling will demand something from you. Your purpose is going to cost you something. Like I said earlier, anything that's worth doing, you know, it's worth doing it to the best of your ability, doing your training, it's going to cost you something. We train for the wilderness because that is what God has called us. It's heavy, right? It's not light. And if we try to carry it without preparing, we will break down and develop what I call spiritual hypothermia. You know, when our thoughts begin to go south, then our emotions begin to go south, and then our actions follow. It's going to happen. So discipline now in getting ready, not just physically, but spiritually, creates freedom later. You've heard some of my stories before where I had to listen to the voice of God on numerous occasions. The one bear that I had to shoot, when he came after me, God changed my path 3 times in the dark to get to that blind that I was in, because the bear was tearing down the blind when I would have gotten there had I not gotten there about 10 minutes later. And that's when the bear saw me, came at me, and I had to dump him. And that wasn't, I had my bow with me, but I also had a firearm with me. So luckily, and that was the other thing, God told me that morning, I want you to take a firearm with you. Many times in Colorado, I don't. Well, live and learn. But elk, they live in the high places. And so does your calling. You know, it came from the most high place that there is. The one who knows you, made you, designed you, and he's given a call to you for your life, a purpose. So spiritual parallels with this. Ephesians in chapter 6, it tells us to put on the full armor of God. That's preparing for what is about to be taking place in your life. Luke 5, I think it's 16, you know, Jesus, he often withdrew to lonely places and he spent time praying. In Proverbs 24, it says, you know, if you falter in time of trouble, how small is your strength? Spending time getting to know God and knowing his word is preparation that goes beyond the physical. You know, even Jesus prayed for his mission. He fasted in the wilderness. He faced temptation. He prayed alone in the dark. He wept, right? He wrestled. But he didn't skip the struggle, he walked into it. If he needed preparation, so do we. Because what you carry is sacred, and sacred things require an unleashed strength, something that is bigger than yourself. So what is the challenge that you've got coming up right now? You know, what are you preparing for, or are you procrastinating? It's so important that we understand that procrastinating just delays, and it also makes us feel worse about ourselves. So because the time for the climb is coming, you know, whether it's in a marriage, in a ministry, your mission, or on a mountain, it's approaching. It's here. It's always. God is always at work. You have to make sure that you rise to the occasion. And you have to prepare to the level of what you're going to be confronted with. You have to train your body. You have to train your mind. You have to train your spirit. You have to get strong for what's ahead. Because here's the bottom line. None of us were called to coast. We're called to climb. Climbing takes training. It takes listening to the one who's directing your path, and it takes perseverance. Your Father is the one who can give everything to you, no matter what you're facing right now. Whether it's a hunt, whether it's a marriage situation, whether it's a job, some physical thing you're facing right now. Maybe you can't be training your body right now because something is happening to you physically, but you can be working on your thoughts, your emotions, your actions. And we do that through the renewing of our mind. Father God, strengthen us in those secret places. Train our hands for battle and our hearts for purpose. Make us men and women who don't run from the wild, but we are shaped by it and through it. And when the mountain rises and the trail is long and it's so hard to climb, remind us that you are with us every step of the way and that we walk with you, the Creator who made everything there is. We don't want to just survive the wilderness. We want to thrive in it. Father, give us what we need. We are so in love with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, you know this, that when a man knows who he is in Christ, that he's been created in the image of the living God, when he's no longer held captive by the opinions of others or cares whether he lives or dies, he's extremely dangerous. Dangerous for good, because he's been unleashed. Well, guys, as always, you know, if this podcast spoke to your spirit, we invite you to join the mission. Visit unleashed.men, click on the About tab, and then the Donate to support the movement that we're doing. We absolutely need your support with prayer, financially, and it makes a world of difference to what we are doing here. If God is speaking on your heart with that, you can, like I said, go to unleashed.men, go to the About tab, and then click on Donate, and we truly appreciate it. So help us equip others to walk into their purpose, to stay strong, to be trained, and to stay unleashed. We'll see you next time.